December 8th, 2013, Morning Service. Today we are going to start from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11. But the younger widows refuse, for they have begun to wax wanton against Christ. They will marry. We have covered a bit of this last week. Widowhood is a part of marriage, and in the Ephesians, Paul talks about the great mystery of marriage. This is not us at Remnant Church is ranting something strange. This is written in the Bible. And Jesus said the mystery of kingdom is revealed to the disciples, but not to the rest of people. And that's why he used parables to teach about the kingdom of God. So there are people to whom the mystery is revealed, and those to whom the mystery is not revealed. And Paul emphasizes about the great mystery of marriage. So when people are divided between those who receive the revelation and those who don't, of course it is better to be in the first group. I myself experienced to be on both sides. I spent most of my life without knowing any mystery, since I was a slow learner and was not sensitive to the things of God. But with grace of God, I am where I am now. So even if you don't understand it, and you don't find it important now, please do not lose a good attitude. Don't be like complaining to God about your lack of understanding. God is very fair. If you lack something, he should have given you something else to complement that is lacking, so you can still understand his heart. As you know, there are a lot of passages about marriage and the mystery of marriage is in the Bible. And here in the 1 Timothy, Paul is talking about the widowhood, which is part of marriage. And Paul mentions numerous times about the real widows and others who are not so real widows, like the end of verse 16. If any man or woman that believe have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. And he talks about not so real widows and criticizes them in verse 11 and verse 15, saying, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So Bible clearly tells us that there are two kinds of widows. Of course, it is better to be counted as a real one, since that's how one receives salvation and blessings. And as you know, Christians are the wives and the husband is Christ. There is also a story of wise virgin and foolish virgins. Being a widow means that her husband used to be alive, but not anymore. It is the same as Christians who are in union with Christ, though he is not in the body now. But we are faithful to him, and that is what widowhood is about, which is the correct way of Christianity. But as the verse 11 says, young widows are not acceptable according to the Bible. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. This means that young widows begin to grow wanton against Christ. They desire to marry other gods. This means that Christ would not become number one in their life, and then they're seduced to have something else above him, like the Catholics following the Pope instead of Christ. Mother Teresa was a good example of that. She followed the Pope in any way she could, and she ended up writing a private letter saying that she felt she was so far away from God. So that is the example of marrying somebody else other than Christ. So that kind of temptation to follow someone else or something else will come to even church-going faithful Christians. Another example is this church called Purpose-Driven Church in the United States. When I first heard the words, I was shocked. Purpose-driven, meaning that in order to fulfill the purpose, the means to get there is less important, it sounds like to me. Well, that's what the bank robbery and thieves do. Their purpose is to obtain the money, and they care less about the means to obtain the money. Purpose driven. So what is the purpose? To obtain people, to have thousands of people. So in order to bring people, they would bring in a popular music band like U2 and the leader of the church. Rick Ware now started saying something strange thing like integration of Christianity and Islam. This is the pattern of leaving the Christian faith and marrying something other than Christ. This is what happens to young widows as well as Christians. So please keep that in mind. Even for Christians, if you still want to enjoy things of the world and do not want to experience any persecution for Christ, that would affect the way you choose your church. The church that has a beautiful facility, the church with legalistic preachers, or whatever that may be, you would choose the church which makes you feel most accepted and at home with your value, rather than what the Bible says. So when I read about many churches in the United States, not that I have ever been there, but I have heard that there are a lot of churches that offer a lot of fun and entertainment, simply to gather a crowd. But if you pursue fun stuff, you're going farther away from Christ. If you read the verse 12, even harsher things are written, like having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. I don't think this damnation is from people. I think this is from Christ. And people openly don't talk about it, but I think even Christians get gravitated towards things that they enjoy and they like if they are not careful. So this passage is not just talking about terrible widows, but also talking about Christians in general who are still seeking pleasure whether they admit it or not. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they are not. So this is not an acceptable lifestyle. Here, wandering from house to house is same as going from church to church and spreading gossip. And being idle is not only being idle as a housewife, this means being idle at church and not doing any works for the Lord. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So this is the recommendation for widows and believers in general to marry Christ and bear children, which is to bring forth things from God and from the relationship with God. For some are already turned aside after Satan. And this is not only a warning to widows, but is to his church too, since this is the reality. So when you say church, not every single church is aligned with Christ, like just like there are real widows and there are not so real widows. That's next passage. If any man or woman that believe have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Continue to the next verses. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, they shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. When you say elders, I think they are working more in the capacity of pastors. And they deserve double honor because they dedicate their life to the word. I know it sounds strange since it feels like I'm speaking for myself, but even elders and pastors are not spared from accusation, and it is possible that they might cause problems. But because of the double honor they deserve, when you accuse people in that position, bring two or three witnesses so that people do not think that you're making a story up for personal reason. As for the passage, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. I guess it depends on the financial standing of the church, since of course it should not be acceptable for pastor to draw a large salary if the church does not have money. Also, the part, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. I looked up the meaning of muzzle, and not only a muzzle is something to cover up the mouth, it also means to silence people, animals. And as you know, people nowadays tend to criticize anything and everything, like Tokyo mayor is being bashed heavily now. People criticize the prime minister and other ministers all the time, as if criticizing others make you look more intelligent. And such spirit of criticism is also entering into a church. It happened here too. And those who criticize believe in what they say, and they think they're being courageous standing up and speaking against the wrongdoers, and he or she may be seeking public approval and support. But that kind of spirit would shut up the pastors, planting fear of criticism and cause them not to be able to say anything because of fear. And it is not only at the Remnant Church, but in any churches, such oppression to silence the preacher when he's trying to speak the word of God should not be acceptable. I have experienced that. I write these newsletters for free, and when I receive constant criticism, I would start wondering why I'm even doing this, and considering the time and effort spent to spread the message. Well, this was not the reason why we stopped the email magazines. It was because of God's prompting. But criticizing the one who is trying to spread the gospel is not acceptable. Verse 20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. This is not a pleasant passage, but this is what God says, and it was done so in the Old Testament era as well. Remember Achan, who took all the treasures and hid them, and because of that, the Israelite lost the battle, and his action was revealed for all to see. When Korah rebelled against Moses, the earth split and he fell into the opening and died in front of everyone. So when God judges those who rebel against him, it is often done in public so others can see. When I mention about the people who are asking to leave this church because of their attitude, I choose to share the story with you because I want you to know that this is what we believe in as a church, and the Bible also says others also may fear. And not only that, I also believe the one who was told to leave also benefited by being told about their wrongdoings, so they would learn what is acceptable and what is not acceptable in a church setting. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. You should have no preference and treat everyone equally. In short, we are all equally watched, whether we are the Pope or Mother Teresa. We are all judged before Christ to see if we have accepted Christ or not. Doing nothing partiality means that in the Bible, there are many teachings like love, peace, forgiveness, and so on. But if you take only one of them and emphasize only one element and not talk about anything else, that means you're showing partiality. There are many who only talk about love, like Catholics and the Pope. Matthew 13 talks about wheat and tares. And tares gets burned. But the Pope says, yes, that's what the Bible says, but the Pope says, God is love and the real hell does not exist, but only exists in our mind because God does not want his children to go to hell. So he only emphasizes love of God, but he refuses to see that God is also just That's why Paul is including this passage in this letter. So do not regard this passage lightly, because this is actually happening. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Well, that's what the Bible says, and I don't lay hands on people nowadays. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and thine often infirmities. Some men sin often beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow afar. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. This is what the Bible says. Our bad deeds, done in the hidden place, will become known in time, and our good deeds, done in the hidden place, also become known. The Bible does not like good deeds done in public only to get people's approval. You know, some people who come to church very early to clean up and so forth and do all the good deeds in front of everyone. I guess they're good too, but God loves when we do good things when no one is watching. And those good deeds will be known to people eventually, because that's the way God works. So what we do as a church may not be known now, but God knows our heart and our work. And I do believe what the Bible says. So let us continue to do our work for the Lord.